We were singing earlier out of Micah chapter 4. We sang the second verse. Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. I wonder how many of us sang that this morning and understood what we were saying. He will teach us of his ways, and as he teaches us of his ways, if you're singing that song, you were singing, I will walk in his path. That I will allow the Spirit of God to teach me his ways, and I resolve to walk in it. How many of you were singing that out of your heart, meaning it, as opposed to singing it because that was just the words that were there? How many of you were singing out of your heart, meaning what you were saying? Praise the Lord. He will teach us of his ways, but beloved, he's not teaching us just to tickle our ears. And he's not teaching us just so we'll know more about God. He's teaching us, beloved, so that we can walk in the ways of the Lord. Yes, our God reigns. Our God is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. But his lordship will only be meaningful to you and meaningful to me as we walk in the ways that he teaches us. We read out of the 96th Psalm this morning, a new song will I sing unto the Lord. And then this morning we sang a new song unto the Lord. That's what that was, as we were singing and you didn't know the words for it. That's a new song. That's a song that the words are given by the Holy Spirit. It's what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, when he said, I will sing with my understanding and I will sing in the Spirit also. That's a new song that comes out of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit gives. Now, if that's one of God's ways and he's teaching us his ways, then let us be sure as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and as citizens of the kingdom of God, let's walk in those ways he's teaching us. Let's go on and walk in them. We sang out of the psalm this morning, 63rd Psalm, the 3rd and 4th verse, I will lift up my hands in thy name. I don't know about you, but all my life I was in a church, read through all of those scriptures, and I'm sure I read the 63rd Psalm, but I never understood that it really meant, you know, to lift your hands to the Lord, because I'd never known anybody to do that. Well, when we come into the house of God, when we come to the mountain of the Lord and the house of our God, and he teaches us of his ways, then let's do them. Let's walk in them. And one of his ways is, I will lift up my hands unto the Lord. Now, you may feel foolish doing that if you've never done that before. You may feel silly to lift your hands up to the Lord. But you know, it's one of God's ways. It's one of the ways of his kingdom. It's something that he has said we're to do. The 47th Psalm says, clap your hands, old ye people. Now that's one of the ways of God. And let's walk in that way. It may seem silly to you, may seem irreverent to you, but you see, it doesn't matter whether it seems irreverent to us or not. God said, do it. It's one of his ways. And so let's do it. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. And it may be strange to you that we would shout in the church, and really at the top of our lungs yet, we would shout in the church. But you know, that's one of God's ways. He says, I will teach you of my ways. And we say, and we will walk in them. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. What? Oh, you were all right, Pastor, until you got to that part. Well, I can't help it. It's in the same book that the rest of it is in. And so when we come to the mountain of the Lord, when we come to the house of our God, and our God teaches us of his ways, then, beloved, let's walk in them. Let's walk in them. Yes, and in my name they shall cast out devils. What? Cast out devils? You betcha my life. Cast out devils. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Healing? You bet. Healing. See, they're the ways of God. These are the ways of God. To lift up Jesus Christ as Lord. To speak in new tongues. To sing unto God a new song. To lift up your hands. To present your body a living sacrifice unto God. To lay hands on the sick that they may be healed. To cast out devils. To set the people of the Lord free. That's the ways of God. And so let's walk in them. Let's do them. Let's not just come into the house of God, to the mountain of the Lord, and hear about it. So, boy, guess what I heard today? Let's do it. Let's be doers of the word as well as hearers. Jesus said, I'm going to show you what a man's like that hears my word and doeth it. He's like a man that built his house or his life on the solid rock. And when the storms and the winds came and blew against that house, the house didn't fall. It stood firm. Why? Because it was built on the rock. But I'll show you a man who hears my word and doeth it not. He's like the man that has his life and his house established upon shifting sand. You know what sand, you can't depend on sand. How many of you have ever been to the beach and you've built a sand castle on the beach? Maybe spend the whole day. Get a half a dozen friends to come help you build that castle. Beautiful thing. But if you want to remember what it looked like, you better hurry up and get a picture before the tide comes in. Because when the first wave hits that beach, it's bye-bye castle. And that's exactly what happens to the lives of people today who build their life upon the shifting sands of what other people think. They build their life upon the sands of opinion. And people change their opinions day after day after day. There's one thing that doesn't ever change, beloved, and that is the word of the Almighty God. Now, if you build your life, you see, upon hearing the word of God and not doing it, but rather patterning your lifestyle after the shifting sands of what other people think, you can be sure that when the wave hits your beach, your house is going down and nobody will ever know that it was there. But I give you assurance this morning on the basis of the holy word of God spoken through the lips of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that if you will be a doer of the principles that God teaches us, and if we will not just hear his word, but do them, that when the waves hit your beach, they'll come and they'll go. They'll come and they'll go. But when they are gone, your house will still be standing. And so the invitation is, come on into the house of the Lord. Come on up to the mountain of God. And he's going to teach us of his ways. He's going to share with us the principles of the kingdom of God. This morning as I preach the word of the Lord, God's going to establish some principles of his kingdom. He's going to share those things with us. And I want to exhort you to take them into your spirit. I want to exhort you to receive them and to not just learn of them, but to do them. Walk in the paths that he has established for us. Our churches are full of hearers. What the kingdom of God needs is a few more doers. Amen? And that is the truth. How many of you are doers of the word of God? Let me see your hands this morning. Let me hear you say, I'm a doer of the word of God.
I'm a doer of the word of God.
I hear God's word.
I hear God's word.
And I do it. God teaches me of his ways. And I walk in his paths. Amen. That's so important to us. So important to us. Praise the Lord. Father, that's an expression of our heart. That's how we feel today. How excellent, excellent, excellent is thy name. We are delighted to be your children, delighted that you're our God. How excellent is thy name in all the earth, O Lord.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated.
91 says, I will deliver him because he crieth unto me. Well, we're going to learn a little more about God's ways today. We're going to establish another kingdom principle this morning. He's going to teach us of his ways, and I heard you say earlier that we were going to walk in his path. Anybody want to take it back yet? We're going to maintain that. We're going to walk in his path no matter what it is. All right, very good. Let's pray. Father, you have heard us say that we'll walk in your path regardless of what kind of a path it is. You teach us, we'll follow. You lead, we'll obey. Teach us this morning now, Father, from your word, the principles of this new kingdom of which we're citizens. Help us to see what kind of laws are in operation in this kingdom. What kind of ways you expect your citizens to live in and to walk in? What does the word of the Lord say about the life of a Christian, a citizen of the kingdom of God? How should we then live? We invite you to speak to us, Father, by the Holy Spirit, using these lips, using this body, but quickening by the Holy Spirit of God, to each person. We invite you to do so, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of St. John, to the last chapter, which is the 21st. John's Gospel, the 21st chapter. Jesus in this passage of Scripture has been crucified, has been dead, has been buried, and has been resurrected from the dead. That all took place in chapters 19 and 20. In the 20th chapter, Jesus has already appeared twice to his disciples. First on Easter night, secondly 8 days later when he appeared to Thomas primarily. Sometime later, Jesus appeared to his disciples the third time along the seashore at the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. His disciples were fishing, and the Lord appeared on the shore. I want us to begin to read in the 15th verse of John chapter 21. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto them, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. When thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Now, many very important principles established in this passage of Scripture, but there's one particular one that I want us to zero in on today. That has to do with our relationship with one another within the family of God, within the body of Christ. Before I deal with that, I want to deal with a little aside here. I want to take just a little side trip just for a moment. On the 23rd verse, Jesus had said to Peter, concerning the second disciple, that if I will that he tarry till I come, if I will, if it be my will that he tarry until I come, what is that to thee? And immediately all the rest of the disciples began to imagine what Jesus meant. But we must be careful about that today and be very careful that we don't jump to conclusions. The word of the Lord was spoken through the lips of the Christ. Jesus said one thing, and everybody else thought he said something completely different. And everybody had it all figured out that John, who is the disciple that is described here, the author of this gospel, the word went around that John was never going to die. And one was saying, oh, did you hear what the Lord said? The Lord said John wasn't going to die. The Lord said that John was going to be alive when Jesus came. He never said that. You see that? They all jumped to conclusions about what was said. And I think there is a good warning there for us and a good instruction for us that we must not add to the words of God, and we must be careful how we take what God tells us. When the word of prophecy comes forth, we must judge that word of prophecy, and we must know what was said, not what we think was said. And that's precisely why, one of the reasons why we tape our services and why we tape the prophetic utterances that come. And this is precisely why when prophecy goes forth over a believer, that you are encouraged to get that prophecy, put it down on paper, write it down so that you can see exactly what God said, not what you think God said. Because much harm can come from developing out of a word that God spoke. A meaning that's not there. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you do, just say amen. All right, now I won't say any more about that. It's just a warning to be careful about that. What God speaks is sure. God's word is sure. But we always don't understand what God said, and it's easy for us to misunderstand it and misinterpret it, and what's worse, misapply it. And so we must be careful. Here was a doctrine sprung up about a man that wasn't going to die. Now, can you imagine what happened to these people when John died? Can you imagine what happened to them? Everybody said John's never going to die before Jesus comes back. And then John goes out and he croaks one day. I mean, he did, just like you and I. He goes over the edge. He passes on to be with the Lord. Now, how about all those people who had anchored their faith in God to the fact that John wasn't going to die? What's going to happen to their faith? So be careful, be careful, be careful. If you're going to believe that a man's going to live forever, you better be sure that you know God said it. if you're going to be sure that you're not going to die before Jesus comes, you be sure God spoke that before you go off on some toot with that thing. That's what happened here. And the gospel writer said, John himself said, that that's not what Jesus said. The saying went among the brethren, but Jesus didn't say he won't die. He said, if he should be alive when I come, what does that matter to you? All right, now back to the point I want to make this morning. This passage of Scripture is very important to us for one specific reason I want us to elaborate on this morning. Jesus had fixed a meal beside the Sea of Galilee, and he fed his disciples that morning. You'll remember the story of how Jesus had them cast the net on the other side of the boat, and they brought in a tremendous catch, and when they come in, Jesus already had some fish prepared on the fire on the shore. And he, in the passage of Scripture that we read, he gave Peter a wonderful, wonderful ministry for him. He said, I've called you, if you love me, I've called you to be a feeder of my sheep. He said, I've called you to that specific task, to feed my sheep. Peter had just had a personal interview with the Lord, with the living Christ, and Jesus had given him specific instructions concerning his ministry. But look at Peter in verse number 20. Then Peter turned around and saw another disciple, and he said to Jesus, "What about this man?" Verse 20, 21, Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, what shall this man do?" Jesus said unto him, "Keep your own nose clean. It's none of your business what I'm doing with him. I've already told you what I'm doing with you. Now be faithful to that and do it, and don't be concerned about this man. That's none of your business. He's not your servant. He's my servant. I'll tell him what I want to do. I will hold him accountable for what I commit to him, but you follow me." Now that's good counsel for the Church of Jesus Christ today. What do you care about that other person's ministry? What do you care about what deal he's got with Christ? What's important is the one you've got. Follow me. Don't be looking around you like this. Put a set of blinders on you that all you can see is me. Don't you look at him and don't you look at her, but look at me, because I'm the one who's called you. I can imagine that Jesus would be grieved at a time like that. After having just ministered so magnificently to this man Peter, that the only thing Peter could think about was, well, what about her? Instead of rejoicing in his own calling, instead of rejoicing in his own vocation, instead of rejoicing in his own ministry, he's concerned about whether that guy has got a better deal than he's got. Or he's concerned about whether that person is more faithful, or whether he is adequately fulfilling the calling that Jesus has on his life. Jesus said, "What is that to thee?" Beloved, we answer to God for the stewardship, not of another man's calling, but the stewardship of our own calling. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul speaks to this. I can almost see Jesus remembering that day along the Sea of Galilee and his experience with Peter. And I can see the Spirit of Jesus speaking through Paul to the Ephesian church. And I can tell you, I can feel the Spirit of Jesus speaking through me today to the Water of Life church. I know what Paul is doing here in his letters, because I can feel it myself. I can feel the same Spirit. Paul says, Ephesians 4, beginning in the first verse, he says this, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." Not the vocation wherewith someone else is called, but you walk worthy, being accountable unto God for the calling that is on your life. "With all lowliness and meekness," in other words, with all humility, "and tenderheartedness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, what does that word forbearing mean? We've said that it means putting up with or making allowances for it. Let's face it. Let's face it. Some people get a ministry from God. The Lord speaks to them. They get a ministry from God, and they get so puffed up with it that they're just hard to be around. Some folks just get so full up with it that it's just, they're just a pain in the neck. Now you know it and I know it. Just a pain in the neck. God's word says, put up with it. Forbear with that. Make allowances for other people's faults. Yes, the word of God says, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. But there aren't any of us there yet. There aren't any of us there yet. And so Paul says, make allowances for the faults of others. Forbear one another. And don't be so quick to criticize. And don't be so quick to judge. And don't be so quick to make these judgments. Forbearing one another in love. Endeavoring or striving to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to allow the Holy Spirit to make us one. For there is one body and one spirit. You see, we're not two, we're one. Even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Romans chapter 14, I'm sorry, Romans chapter 14. I would like to read most of this chapter, but in the interest of time, I have a number of scriptures I want to share this morning. I'm not going to read the entire chapter, but you make some notes here if you want to, and you can review it yourself. It bears on the principle that we're establishing here. Romans 14 and verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Who do you think you are, Paul said, to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God's able to make him stand. Who do we think we are when we would judge one another as to their service of Almighty God? Who do I think I am to judge this brother as to whether he is faithfully fulfilling his ministry? Who do you think you are to judge me as to whether I am faithfully fulfilling my ministry? Who do you think you are to judge somebody because they're not singing in the choir and you think that they're displeasing God because of it? Who do you think you are that you're judging somebody that's not playing on the softball team because they've got the skill to do so and you think they should? Who are you and who do you think you are to judge another man's servant? It's God that holds him up. He's God's servant. He's not yours and he's not mine. And so let's be careful about our judging one another and judging another man's faithfulness to his calling. How do you know what God's told him to do? Jesus said to Peter, Peter, that is none of your business. What is that to you? You keep your eyes on me and follow me and keep your own nose clean. You don't worry about wiping his nose. You wipe your own. I'm the one that called you. I'm the one who you're going to have to stand in front of and give account for what you've done in your body. And so follow me. Verse number 7, Paul says, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. And whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. And so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 26 tells us that every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. The Lord will do the judging. The Lord will do the determining as to whether a person has been faithful or not. We read Psalm 96 this morning, but I'll bet that very few of us picked up the last verse that says that he, that is God, shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Now, I take great comfort in the fact to know that when God judges me, he's going to judge me with right judgment. I take great consolation in the assurance that when God judges me, that he's going to judge me according to this word. You know that there are very few people that can judge me according to this word. Most of us judge each other according to what we think, not according to what God said. The word of the Lord says he is the one that will do judgment. I want us to look back in the Gospel of John now to the third chapter, and let us look at the example of Jesus. I want to establish something here this morning that perhaps you have never seen before. I want you to see how ugly judging is. I want you to see how rotten and how filthy and how abominable it is to judge another brother or another sister. Now watch this. The example of Jesus Christ. Now, if any man ever had the right to judge another, surely it would be Christ. He lived a sinless life. He lived a life of perfect holiness. He lived a life in which he could say, everything I do pleases my Father. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never transgressed the law. And everything he did pleased his Father. Now, he, above anybody else, would have the right to judge another. Look what John tells us about Jesus. Verse number 17. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Now the word condemn there in that verse is the Greek word krino, which is the same word that is translated judge many other places in the New Testament. To judge another person is to condemn them. Let me say that again. When you judge another person, you have already condemned them. And you can use these words, judge and condemn, interchangeably in reading through these passages that I'm sharing with you this morning from the New Testament. They are the same Greek word. John says that God did not send Jesus into the world to judge the world or to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. And then he went on to say that a person judges himself. He doesn't need to be judged. See, you don't need to judge me. I judge myself. And I don't need to judge you. You judge yourself. How is that? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What we believe and what we do, that judges us. We do not need a brother or a sister to bring judgment upon us. In Luke's gospel, Jesus gave a valuable principle in Luke's gospel, the 9th chapter, to us through his disciples. And I want you to turn over there because I want to share these verses with you. And I want you to see the principle that Jesus is establishing in his ministry. We are told that he didn't come to judge. He came to save. Luke 9 and verse number 49. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. Now we don't like that scripture very well, many of us in the body of Christ, because we want everybody else to think like we do. We want them to talk like we do. We want them to sing like we do. We want them to act like we do. But Jesus said, don't you forbid them. Just because they don't speak in tongues, if they're not against us, they're still with us. Just because they don't believe in casting out devils, if they're not against us, they're still with us. Don't forbid them for doing a good work. Just because they're not doing it as fully as you are, just because they don't have all the revelation that you have, and don't even judge them on that. How do you know that that's what they're called to do? I'm going to tell you something about me and the Lord dealing with me. This church is 3 years old. I came out of a traditional kind of church background in which there was very little spiritually happening. When I came into a knowledge of Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and I came to be filled with the Holy Ghost and got so excited for the things of God, I couldn't understand why everybody else wasn't on the same bandwagon. And when this particular church was formed, and I know it was God called, it's not a church I formed, it's formed by the Holy Ghost, he just happened to call me to pastor it, that's all. But when that happened, I was wondering one day, Lord, why aren't all churches like ours? Haven't you ever wondered that? And I asked him, why do you let these other ones, why do you even let them operate? Now it's not, you must understand, I'm not concerned about building this one at the expense of others, but I'm trying to understand. How can they even function? They're so dead. The Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and he said this. He said, do you realize if Water of Life was the only church in Douglas County, it wouldn't be any bigger than it is right now. And the people that are in these other churches would be unchurched. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I minister to them where they are, and I'll give them as much as they're able to receive. And so, what is that to you, Victor? Follow thou me. Keep your own nose clean. Do what I told you to do. They'll bear account for what I've commissioned them to do. You'll bear account for what I've commissioned you. And so you do what I've told you, and don't you be worried about what they're doing, and don't judge them for what they're doing. In the next passage, I'm still reading out of Luke 9, the 51st verse, the story is told of Jesus and his disciples going to Jerusalem. And he sent some of his disciples ahead into a village of the Samaritans and to make a preparation for them there when they got there. And verse number 53 tells us that the Samaritans did not receive him because he wasn't planning to stay over in Samaria. He was going on to Jerusalem. Verse 54, when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? A real loving spirit, isn't it? Now they knew what the guys had done was wrong. But their reaction to it was equally wrong. Two minuses do not make a plus in the kingdom of God. Doesn't work that way. He said, we remember how Elijah just called from heaven and he called fire down on the altar. He showed those people a thing or two. He showed them who God was. Do you want us just to call fire down, destroy those guys? Then they'll know who you are, that you're really the Son of God. Jesus said something very interesting. He said, he turned and rebuked them in verse 55, and he said, ye know not what manner of spirit you're of. You don't know what spirit's motivating you. Do you know what spirit motivates judgment and condemnation? It's the devil. When you judge another person, you are giving the devil charge of your tongue. When you condemn another person, you are letting the devil use your mouth. And go read James, the 3rd chapter, and find out about the tongue being set on fire by hell itself. How can you bless God with a tongue and then curse man, which is created in the image of God? That's what James said. Shouldn't be so. You go to a water fountain, you don't get salt water and fresh water out of the same fountain. How this kind of activity brings harm to yourself. A person who persists in judging another or judging others, a person who is persistent with a critical and condemning spirit is bringing harm upon himself. Matthew 7, verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. In other words, condemn not that ye be not condemned. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. I'm going to tell you something. If you spend your time talking about others within the body of Christ and running your mouth off about other people, you can believe that you will be the subject of the same kind of talk. If you are constantly running at the mouth, judging and criticizing and condemning others within the body of Christ, you will be the subject of that kind of judgment and criticism by others. With the same judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. It's the old law of sowing and reaping. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite. Now that's strong language. But the Bible says that if you judge another person, you're a hypocrite. Got awfully quiet in here, didn't it? 1st cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Luke chapter number 6, Jesus continuing in his teaching. Verse number 31, he says this, "And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." Verse number 36, "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." The 19th chapter of Luke, Jesus told a story about a man who had great possessions and who had left his possessions in charge of his servants. One of those servants, you'll recall, took the possession that he was given by his master and he laid it up in a napkin. He said, "I was afraid because I knew you were a hard, an austere master, and I knew that you reaped where you didn't sow. And I was afraid that if I didn't preserve your possession for you, that you would, that great harm would come to me." And the owner spoke these words. He said, "Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant." And so if we persist in this kind of activity, judging one another, making judgment about the actions or the attitudes of another person, we bring judgment upon ourselves. Romans chapter 2. Turn with me there just briefly. Verse number 1. Now it would be helpful for you to read verses 1 through about 11. But we'll just read a couple of verses here. "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing." Do what? Break the law of God. What are you doing? You're breaking the law of God. You're just slamming it wide in two. "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them that commit such things. Thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" Verse 6 says, "God will render to every man according to his deeds." Now the principle is this, beloved. When you or when I judge another human being and condemn another human being with our mouth, we are disobeying and breaking the commandment of God. We've been studying the law that governs the kingdom of God under the new covenant. What is that law? It's the law of love. 1 John in chapter 3 tells us that the commandment of God is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to love your neighbor, and that's it. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that we are to owe no man anything but love, because love is the fulfilling of the law. That when we love, we have completed the law. But when we judge another person, criticize another person, condemn another person, bring that other person's work into judgment, we are taking the place of God and we're walking outside of love. Turn with me to 1 John and chapter 2. Now this is why some of us are having troubles. This is why some of us are having difficulties in our finances. This is why some of us are having difficulties in our physical bodies. This is why some of us are having difficulties in our families. This is why some of us are walking in confusion. This is why we're not walking in the promise of the inheritance which God has given to us, ratified by the death and burial and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we've broken the law. 1 John 2 and verse 9. "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. You can't say, I'm in the light, and walk around judging and criticizing and condemning your brother. The Bible says you're in the darkness. Now, you may think you're in the light, but you're not. You're in the darkness. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. I love that verse. If we will love one another, we will live in the light, and there will be no cause for stumbling and falling. You know how it is sometimes that it seems everything you touch turns to mud. Just everything you touch crumbles and falls apart in your hands. God's Word tells us why that is. We studied it last Sunday night, didn't we? When we studied Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. If we do not love one another, we're going to stumble and fall. We're going to hurt. We'll be miserable. Everything we touch will turn to mud. So you don't hurt that other person, you hurt yourself. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because the darkness hath blinded his eyes. James chapter 4, turn with me to that reference, please. It seems as if every man that had anything to say in the New Testament referred to this principle. James chapter 4, verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? James says that if we'll judge our brother, that we are speaking evil of the law which God gave. That is the law of love. Now, we cannot break the law of God with impunity. We cannot break the law of God and go unpunished. We cannot break the law of God and not suffer as a result of it. Now, if you are wondering what's wrong in my life, if you're wondering why can't I get healed, why can't I get my finances under control, why can't I get my kids under control, why can't I get my family saved, why aren't the promises of God coming to pass in my life? Look this direction. I don't mean it me. It's not my fault. I mean, I get blamed for enough. I don't want that. I'm saying go look in the mirror. Go look into the perfect law of liberty. There's nothing wrong with him. I said there. That's a good place for an amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with him. Amen. Very good. You see, if it's not coming to pass for you, nothing wrong with him, nothing wrong with this. There's something wrong on this end. And what God's trying to show us today is that we are running around making a mess of our lives, and God's coming around behind doing the best he knows how to try to clean up things, but we're breaking the law, because we're condemning other of God's servants. She's not doing like she ought to do. You know, you'd think he'd love the Lord more than that. You know, if she'd just get such and such straightened up, she'd be all right. That's all too frequently heard within the body of Christ. Now, you know it and I know it. What we're doing is speaking evil of the law of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I tell you, this one set me free. About 2 years ago, I was real sensitive to criticism and very sensitive to other people's opinions. I was terribly sensitive to what people thought about me as a pastor, as a man of God. I still care, but not nearly like I used to. I care a whole lot more about what God thinks. And this is the scripture that God used to set me free. First Corinthians chapter 4, beginning to read in the first verse. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In other words, he must answer to God. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time. Now that's good advice. Judge nothing before the time, that is, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. In other words, when Jesus comes, he'll give every man what he's entitled to, and every man will have his own praise from God, and you be careful that you don't judge another man's work before that day comes, because you don't know what his orders are. You don't know what instructions he's under. You don't know what he's doing, and you may think he's not doing right, but he's obeying the word of the Lord, or she's obeying the word of her husband, or he's obeying the word of his parents. And we judge him because he's not as spiritual as we are. Or he's not doing what we think he ought to do. You be very careful about judging another man's servant. Because when the time comes that Jesus comes, he'll shine light onto these things and everybody will know then whether that person's been following and obeying God. You see, it's not easy for a nose to understand what good a toe is for. See? You're a nose. You look at a toe, and all it does is smell. Doesn't produce any good for the body. But I want you to know, if it wasn't for that toe, that nose would get pretty tired of smelling the same scent because he'd never be able to move. And when the tallies are all in, you see, that's when the nose will find out how important the foot was, or the toe was. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so let's not be quick, you see, to judge. Let's operate in the law of love, and let's love one another instead of judging and condemning one another within the body of Christ. Paul says, in these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes. I'm teaching you a principle here. That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Or who maketh thee to differ from another? God. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Nothing. Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Paul said, everything you have, you got from God. You didn't get any of it on your own. And so what reason do you have to glory against another person? And so you have the skill to sing and minister before the people of God. And you think that she does too, and that if she was really obeying God, she'd be stepping out and moving ahead with the Lord, and she'd be singing the songs of Zion. And all you're doing when you judge her is you're elevating yourself. All you're doing when you judge her is lifting yourself up. And Paul says, I won't have it. The only reason you know how to sing, and the only reason that you're able to sing the songs of Zion and a minister to the flock of God, is because God gave it to you. So why are you glorying in it? Glory, give him the glory. Don't exalt yourself. Just because you can teach and you think somebody else ought to be teaching, and then you judge them because they're not, you're judging their fidelity, and what you're doing is exalting yourself at their expense. And God says, I won't have it. And if you'll judge that way, then I'm going to judge you the same way. And if you'll condemn that way, then I'm going to condemn you the same way. And so, beloved, I believe God's word tells us we better be very, very careful. We need to be very careful. I want to tell you something about fathers. I'm a father. I have two sons. Now, I know these two sons pretty well. I know what's wrong with them, and I know what's right with them. I don't need you to tell me. I don't need you to tell me what weaknesses they have. I don't need you to tell me what's wrong with them. I already know that. And if you begin to tell me what's wrong with it, it's going to hurt you. Because it's going to interfere with your relationship with me. You run around telling me and everybody else what's wrong with my sons. You just feel yourself drifting away from me. I mean, just you could feel yourself drifting away. What's wrong with the pastor? How come he doesn't seem to even know I exist? You bet I don't know you exist. You talk about my boys. This father's the same way. This father is the same way. You talk about his kids. He already knows about his kids. He knows what's wrong with them, and he knows what's right with them. You go around talking about his kids, and you can expect to have your relationship and your fellowship interfered with and interrupted. So I don't know what's the matter. Heaven's like brass. I can't seem to get my prayers through. That's because he's not listening. You're talking about his kids. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't judge, lest you be judged. James chapter 2, verse 12 says this. I'm going to give you three scriptures. You can jot them down if you want to. I'm not going to look them up. I have them written down here. But I want to bring everything together, what I've said this morning, in these scriptures. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. Order your speaking and your actions as recognizing that we're going to be judged by this law right here, the law of God. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath shown no mercy. We know that God's mercy endures forever. But the new covenant says that if we exercise judgment without showing mercy, that we will have judgment without mercy. And mercy rejoiceth against judgment. God wants mercy, not judgment. He wants forgiveness and forbearance. He wants love, not judgment. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Mercy rejoices against condemnation. Forgiveness rejoices against putting down. Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, the 12th chapter, when they accused him of wrongdoing. You remember, I think I preached out of that passage one day. His disciples were going through the cornfield and they were plucking and eating grain that day. Jesus said, Matthew 12 and 7, he said, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned or judged the guiltless. We must understand and practice the law of God. He wants mercy and not sacrifice. We can walk into the house of God and we can rejoice and jump up and down, hallelujah, praise the Lord, talk in tongues, sing in tongues, do all the rest of it. Paul said, if I do all those things and have not love, I'm like a clanging gong and a noisy cymbal. He said, I give my body away, give it to be burned, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. God's word says, I want mercy, not sacrifice. All of these other things matter not if the law of love is broken. The book of Ecclesiastes, you just make a note, these are the last two verses in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, who the word of the Lord tells us was the wisest man to ever live, with the exception of Christ, of course. God had given him wisdom like no man before or since. He wrote 12 chapters of cynicism in Ecclesiastes at the end of his life. He was a cynical, disappointed old man. One who had known God, one who had been anointed by God, but then one who had walked away from God, turned his back. But when it was all done, he said this, Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I'm going to sum it all up for you in a few words. Fear God and keep His commandment, for this is the whole duty of man. Reverence God and keep the commandment of love, because that's the whole duty. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God takes the side of the judged. God takes the side of the condemned. If you want the Almighty God against you, then just judge His people. Quickest way I know to get God on the other side, judge His people, condemn His people. Most of the time when we judge, we are running off our mouth about things we don't know. Is that right or not? We're speaking things that we don't have any understanding of. This sister right here. You mind if I use you as an example? Several months ago, I was asked to speak to the ladies' fellowship, the Dove Fellowship, on the woman's role in the church. Now, that's a cake of dynamite anyway. And I wasn't sure that I really wanted to do it, but, you know, if I don't do it, who will? And so I said, okay, I will. And I came to the church that night, and the ladies were there, and we worshiped the Lord and had a good time in the Lord and so on. I began to speak. This sister was sitting on the back row, and she was nodding like this. Just that she would catch herself, you know, and you know how a person is when they're sleepy in the service, and their eyes are about this big. She'd like this for all, and now it's, so here she'd begin to nod. Well, I was having kind of a bad time anyway, and when I saw her doing this, I really began to get upset. About it. And I judged her. I'm ashamed of it, because as long as I've known her, and as precious as she is to me, and as much as I know she cares, that one night, and I guess it was because I wasn't really on top to start with. I don't need an excuse. It was wrong for me to do it. But I just, that night was just not a good night. All the while I'm teaching and she's nodding. And I've got her judged and pegged, and I mean, I've got her in a pigeonhole. I know exactly where she belongs. I found out the next day that she had been to the dentist that day and had 2, 3, 4 wisdom teeth, 4 wisdom teeth surgically removed, and that she was all doped up. And that the only reason that she was there that night is because she had begged her husband to let her come. Her husband advised her to stay at home because she was so dopey. I'm going to have to repent all over again, aren't I? Sleepy from the drugs is what I mean. From the anesthetics and all that. You know how big I felt? I could walk upright out through those doors, you know, when they're closed. I really felt like a jerk. But the Lord taught me a tremendous lesson that day. And He said, don't you judge until the time is full. Don't you judge what you can't understand. And don't make judgments on other people, because you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what instructions they're operating under. And you don't know what their calling is of God. And so keep your mouth shut. Let God judge them. We answer to the Lord. Jesus said to Peter, what is that to thee? Follow me. I find in my life, If I keep my face hard towards the Lord, if I keep my eyes hard on Him, if I keep my attention hard on Him and what I'm supposed to be doing, I haven't got time to judge you. I'm so busy following the Lord that I haven't got time to judge you. And that's what's wrong with many of us. We're still fooling around, not doing what God called us to do. That's why we've got time to judge and criticize one another. Find out what God wants you to do and get in obedience to it and get on with it and do it. Then you won't care what that other person's doing. You won't have time to judge them. I don't know if I've ever asked you to forgive me, but I do now if I never did before. It was a terribly wrong thing. But it taught me a tremendous lesson. I'm glad it was you and not somebody else, because you'd understand it and can forgive me. Somebody else wouldn't. They'd still be talking about me. Brother, you too. I judged your wife, see, wrongly. Let's be careful that we don't judge, lest we be judged. And see, I was judging her. That's why I was having trouble teaching that night. I couldn't get the flow because I wasn't walking in love with her. And that's happening. You see, it happens within the body of Christ. It happens in this body. It's happening in everybody. You cannot break the law of God with impunity. Love one another. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's all I want you to do. Just believe on me and love each other. That's all you have to do. That ought to be easy enough. He said, this is how the world's going to know that you're my disciples, that you have love for each other. That's how they're going to recognize you as belonging to me, because you'll be like me. What is that to thee, Peter? What is that to thee, Peter? Follow me. Let's pray. Lord, we ask you to forgive us where we have judged one another. We perceive, Father, that the devil has deceived us, and we thought we were so spiritual that by revelation we were judging. That you were sharing with us a judgment against another person. We see now that we did not understand what spirit we were of. Because your spirit comes to save, not to destroy. Your Son came to save men's lives, not to destroy them. When we're operating in judgment and when we're operating in condemnation, when that junk is flowing out of our mouth, it's the devil using our tongue. We see that. For every such occasion, Father, we ask you for forgiveness. We bow our hearts before you right now, Father, contritely, and asking you, Lord, to wash away that thing. Forgive us, Lord, for speaking evil of a brother or a sister. Forgive us, Lord, for even speaking of it to you, evil of another person. Forgive us, Father, for breaking the commandment of love. Forgive us, Father, for walking in a way that did not please you, in a way that did not represent our calling, our vocation. Help us, Lord, to be so wrapped up in our work for you. Help us, Lord, to be so dedicated and committed and consecrated to the work you've given us to do, that we'll not be judging others for what they are or are not doing. At the same time, Father, we realize that we must pray for one another. We must undergird one another, that we must lift one another up, that we must minister to one another, yea, even to minister the word of the Lord. But Father, deliver us from condemning and from judging, from criticizing and from false accusing. Deliver us from those things that would give the enemy opening. Deliver us from those things that would separate us from you. Deliver us from those things that would cause the body of Christ to be bruised in any way. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll show us how to operate fully in the law of love, that we might walk in that law 24 hours a day. Jesus did. We believe we can too. We want to understand what 1 Corinthians 13 love is all about. We want to understand about the patience of love and the kindness of it. We want to understand how love endures all things and bears all things. For we know that love never fails. And if love never fails, then we'll not fail if we're walking in it. The only time we will or can fail is when we're walking outside of love. Take this word, O God, cause it to take deep root in every heart, even the young hearts, Lord. We don't want to do anything that would hurt a brother or a sister, bring harm to them, nor do we want to bring harm to ourselves. We see, Father, that judging and criticizing and condemning is ugly. It's rotten and it stinks. It comes from deep within the pit. And it's the very kind of nature that you came to deliver men from. For you said that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's more natural for us to love than it is to judge. More natural for us to care and forgive and forbear than it is for us to find fault, to hold grudges. We believe, Lord, that as we know you better, that through the knowledge of you and of your word, that we will be more and more partakers of this divine nature that lives inside us, that we really can. And we really will be as you've said we are. I believe that, Father, with all of my heart. All of God's people who believe the same voiced their agreement to our prayer in the name of Jesus, as all of the people said, Amen. The most important thing that'll ever happen to you, and that is to know Jesus Christ as your Lord. You know, you can't live in the kind of love we're talking about this morning until you know Jesus. I invite you this morning, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, if you'd speak to me after the service, I would be delighted to share the good news of Jesus with you. Those of you perhaps who have been operating under condemnation, those of you that are in the body of Christ, who have been judged of others, I pray that you'll find liberty in the message and the word that's preached today. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We give answer to God. We give answer to God. He's the one that will judge all works. You be sure that you're calling, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, giving answer unto God for that calling. Father, we thank you for the time we've had in your presence today, for you're speaking to us, Lord, through the word and through the preached as well as the prophetic word. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to worship and to praise you and to come to understand more clearly the principles of living in the kingdom of God. Allow your love that has been shed abroad in our hearts, to be manifest to the exclusion of everything else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.